Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you again this morning because we have the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for being available when we cry out to you. Thank you for comforting us when we are struggling, when we're weary, when we're worn. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for your grace, O God. Thank you for your Son. We've just sung about Jesus over and over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God that we can read and learn and enjoy and read it again and learn some more and enjoy it all over again. Thank you for strength for the day. Sometimes it feels like that's all we can do is one day at a time. Thank you that you've never left us nor forsaken us. We saw that just a week or two ago and were reminded you don't forsake us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be called your children, children of Most High God. Thank you for churches gathering all over our communities today and around America and around the world. May your will be done. Thank you, Father, for volunteers that make up the body here and make up the body of believers everywhere, behind the scenes, feeding people at funerals and praying and giving and leading us in music and leading our children in Awana and VBS and Sunday schools. All the things that happen, thank you, Father. For everyone here this morning that has come to worship you. It may be that we have come with heavy hearts. It may be that we have come with burdens. Whatever the case may be, I pray this morning, Father, that you, by your Spirit, would minister to our ears and to our hearts. I do pray for the names on that prayer list. There's a lot of them. And I do pray that you'd continue to draw them close, heal broken bodies, restore strained marriages, help our youth group to walk the pathway focused on Jesus, not allowing the world to influence them, and actually help all of us, Father, to be molded in the image of Jesus, not the image of the world. Thank you, Father, for comforting those that have lost their loved ones. I pray again for the many families that are hurting because one of their loved ones is missing. But, Father, we do rejoice when we know you, when we put Jesus Christ, we've invited him into our heart and made him Lord of our lives. Even when we close our eyes in death, we go home to be with you. So we rejoice about that. But in the meantime, we're sad and lonely and hurting. And so I just pray for those that are that way again this morning. And I do pray for America. What a privilege it is to live in America. What a blessing it is to live in America. How you have blessed us and taken care of us and protected us and provided for us. Father, I praise you for that. But I pray for America today. I pray first and foremost that you'd forgive us for our sin. Our sin is evident, our pride, our idolatry, our sexual immorality, our murder of the innocents, our covetousness, our not even regarding your day and your name, our flagrant disregard for you. Father, forgive us, I pray. Forgive us in America for our sin. We need you. And so I pray again that you will revive your church. Breathe Holy Spirit life into your church and let us live with a passion and a calling from Jesus himself to be holy people, to be salt and light. Revive your church and save the lost, O God, I pray. Transform lives in and out of the church. Transform us, O God, to the image of Jesus. Father, we're just a few folks here. a drop in the bucket, so to speak, in the bigger scope of things, but we've come to worship you because we love you. We've come to worship you, Father, to say thank you. We've come to worship you to listen to your word, to listen to your spirit, and allow your spirit to do a work in us that's transformational and move us from where we have been. Maybe it's outright sin, but maybe we have wandered from you, to move us from there to a closer walk with Jesus. And so we're just a few people that have come together today, Lord, but we come to worship you and to hear from you. So guide us, I pray. Speak to us, I pray. Transform us, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Full-time job keeping after 3-4 boys at a time. Anybody can relate to 3-4 grandsons or boys at a time? It's a full-time job. Clara, now she's a piece of cake, but these three? I love my boys. I love my grandkids. I have gray hair for a reason, you know. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9, a story that you know very well. But I want to talk about transformation today. Before I talk about transformation, let me just add on to a little bit of last week that I didn't get to. Last week, you know, we were talking about the power of believing. Anybody remember? No. Well, maybe we should go back to last week's and try that again. We did, in fact, talk about the power of believing last week, and we looked at Mark 16, and we looked at the topic where Jesus came to the disciples and he rebuked them for their unbelief, because on two separate occasions they'd been told, he's alive, and they didn't believe it. And so that's what we talked about last week, if you weren't here, or if you were and forgot. And I just want to say one more thing about the power of believing that I didn't get a chance to say last week. You know, Jesus healed. He healed people of all manner of diseases and issues, and he spoke of his followers by, he said to them, you lay hands on the sick, they'll be well. And so I praise God for his healing virtues in our physical bodies. Amen? People are and have been and will be healed in the name of Jesus. Here's the one thing I didn't get to last week, and I wanted to mention before I move into transformation this morning. Just because someone is not physically healed, I know solid believers in wheelchairs, in cancer, in other manner of affliction. Just because someone may not have been physically healed does not necessarily mean you do not have the right kind of faith. And so I didn't want to imply that last week. I don't want you to think that. Too often times I fear that people are accused of or blamed for not having enough or the right kind of faith, so they're still sick. That's not what I wanted to portray last week. That's not who God is. And so I just want to reiterate that there is sickness and suffering in this world. We know that to be true. And God does heal some, and some he chooses not to heal. And he's healed people right here in this community, in this building. He really has. Physical healings. He has in the past, he has lately, and he will in the future. He heals people around the globe today. And there will be solid, believing followers of Jesus Christ that may not get physically healed. And godly people that will still lose our loved ones to sickness, because we're in the fall and we're on this side of glory, and so those things will happen. And so I just want to say God alone chooses whom he will heal, whom he may not this side of heaven. God chooses that. We do not. We pray for healing and his will to be done. And so I want to be clear as to not condemn anyone that hasn't been necessarily completely healed, implying that maybe you didn't have the right kind of faith. That's not what I meant. That's not what I didn't mean to say that. I don't think I did, but I wanted to clear that up. And so now I want to talk about the power of transformation. What is transformation? And let me ask you to not only ponder what is transformation, but have you been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God? You know, when Jesus commissioned the disciples that day, he said, go and make disciples. The church, listen to me now, friends, the church is called to go in to the world and present Christ and transform. Are you still with me? But what's happening is the world lately is transforming the church. We have been commissioned by God Himself, by the Son of God, to go into the world and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, Jim, I'm not a preacher. That's okay. If you have been born again, you have a testimony, you have a story. And He challenged the believers, the followers on the Sermon on the Mount, go into the world and be salt and light, even if you're not a preacher. Go into the world and let your light shine. He has commissioned the church to do that. He has told us, go and make disciples. Teach them everything I've told you. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the whole of the New Testament, especially the Pauline letters, are how we live in Christ. How do we live now? We've accepted Christ. We trust Him. We believed He is the Messiah. And the whole of the New Testament tells us how to live in Christ. That is transformation. And God has called the church, not just Billy Graham, but the church, to live as light and go into the world and represent Jesus. So the world that hurts will see Jesus in the church and cry out to Him and come to Him and be transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. However, I mentioned to you last week, America's in trouble. There's a lot of things not going very well in America. And I fear part of the responsibility is ours in the church. Mine, ours. Because we have allowed the world to transform the church rather than the church transforming the world. And if we are ever, friends, if we are ever going to see this nation move back to God, it's because the church is the light of the world and living for the Lord Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost and not being transformed and looking just like the world. Because if we look just like the world and say we're Christians, then what have they got to aspire to? He has called us to live transformed lives, holy. Have you been transformed? Romans 2:12-2 talks about people being transformed. We'll never be transformed unless we've experienced the power of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can work at transforming ourselves. We can work at getting better. But we're never going to have that heart that Jesus spoke about, that the Old Testament prophets spoke about, that heart, Spirit-led heart, without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing His Spirit to transform us. We can't work our way there. Acts chapter 9, you know the story. This is what transformation looks like. You say, yeah, but Jim, that's Paul. That's Paul. That's the greatest apostle there ever was. That's just a person, a human being, just like you and I, that allowed the transforming power of God to really transform him. This is all this is. The story is about Saul still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And Saul went to the high priest and he asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. You know the story. You know who Saul is. Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee of Pharisees. Did everything right according to Jewish law, according to Jewish custom. Was working his way up the ladder of religiosity. But he didn't subscribe to Jesus. He was no different than the Pharisees that called out to Pilate that morning, "Crucify him." He was in that crowd. He would have said, "I believe in God." But he didn't subscribe to Jesus. As a matter of fact, he wanted to stamp out those that were of the way, which is referring to the followers of Jesus. And so he got permission to go bring a few back more to Jerusalem, persecute them, maybe kill a few, throw a few in jail. That's who Saul was. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And then Jesus said, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." We all know the story. What he's telling him is, "Listen to me, Saul of Tarsus. You've got this passion, you've got this zeal, you've got this religion about you. But religion is not the answer. A relationship with Jesus is the answer." That's what he was telling him that day when he said, "It's hard for you to go against, to kick against the goads. Religion, Saul, is not the answer. A relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son is the answer." It was for him, it is for us today. The answer is a relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus. It's not some name on the sign. It's not about the preacher. It is relationship with God through faith in His Son. And Jesus said to him, "It's hard for you to kick against these goads. Religion will never satisfy you. The answer is in Jesus." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. Then, but they led him by his hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard about this guy. I heard how much harm he's done to the church, to your people. And I've heard that he's got authority here from the chief priest to bind anybody here in Damascus that calls on the name of Jesus. I've heard about all that." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Last week we talked about the power of believing, really believing the Word of God, really believing the voice of God, really believing the Spirit of God, and when we do, things happen. Ananias believed. He said, "Okay, Lord." There's power in believing, brothers and sisters. Things happen when we genuinely believe in what God is calling us to. Ananias went his way, the Bible said, and he entered the house, and laying his hands on him, that's Saul, he said to him, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And the Bible says, so when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. In verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that the Christ is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here yet, come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? And the answer is yes, it's the same one. It's the same one that 3 days earlier was bound for Damascus to persecute and to jail and to punish and to stamp out those of the name of Jesus. It's the same one. But he believed unto salvation, and he had been transformed. Now, your transformation and mine may not have been that dramatic, but the same God who called on Saul that day, the same Jesus, has called us. And the same Holy Spirit that was put forth and made available to Saul is made available to us, people of the 21st century, people of God. And so he is willing and able to transform us from who we used to be to who he wants us to be, the same today as he did to Saul that day. He is the same God with the same agenda. To transform lives, to use those transformed lives to go into a hurt and dark and dying world and tell them and show them by living daily there's hope and his name is Jesus. I suppose I've said this near 100 times, at least some of you think I have. It seems like that. But when we really meet Jesus, he will change you. Amen? When we really meet him, we can say we believe in him all day long. Saul of Tarsus would have said, I'm as religious as the next. Matter of fact, I'm more religious than most of you. And he had never met Jesus. Believed in God, believed in the Mosaic law, but he had never met Jesus. When we genuinely meet Jesus, he will change you. I would love to tell of stories all day long. I picked this one because we're familiar with it, and it is dramatic. I could tell you stories all day long of dramatic, transformed lives, and some of you are sitting here. You've heard some of the testimonies that are here. You've read about people like Nikki Cruz and Lee Strobel. We've heard from people like Ron Odenthal, transformed lives by the power of the Holy Spirit of God because they believed in Jesus the Christ. He will give you a new heart. He will guide you in paths that are different from the ones that you were on. If we experience the power of believing unto salvation, God will show his power in transforming our lives. I want to close with a word from Matthew, and I want us to think about it. Before I go to Matthew chapter 5, this isn't going to be on the big screen, so if you're going to follow along, you're going to have to open your Bibles, Matthew 5:14. God desires our lives transformed by believing in Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost. God desires these transformed lives of the church to be a witness to lives that aren't transformed. That's his calling to the church. That the church whose lives have been transformed by the power of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ and filling of the Holy Spirit, that our lives infiltrate the world around us and the world that hurts and is still in the darkness will see the light of Jesus and how He has transformed you and me. That's what God wants of us. Here's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. After He got done talking about the Beatitudes and the blessed are they, blessed are you, He says in verse 14, people of God, followers of Jesus, you are the light of the world. And then He elaborates on that in case that isn't quite enough for us. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Do you see what He is saying to us, brothers and sisters? When you have trusted Christ, when you have given all to Him, your life will be a shining beacon on the hilltop, and it cannot be hidden. And if we go back into the world, we've trusted Christ, we've been born again, we're walking the pathway of life, and we look just like the world, we haven't allowed Him to transform us. Jesus says with clarity, any city that's sitting out there on a hill, you can't hide it. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God and transformed by that redeeming, transforming power, you can't hide your faith either. Amen? Sometimes I think we're embarrassed by our faith. We don't want people to know. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but don't tell anybody. We want to stick Jesus in our pocket and leave Him there and bring Him out like a hanky when we need it. When He says, followers of Christ, let your light shine. He says in the later verse, 16, let your transformed life be a witness for who you are in Jesus. Why? Jesus tells us the why. So that they, the people looking at this bright light, this city on the hill, this new believer, this passionate follower of Christ, so that they may see who you really are. Jesus says, your good works, and glorify our Father in heaven. That's why. Now, I don't know about you, friends, but I'm concerned for the condition of America. And I believe until people of God start letting our light shine for Jesus, we're just going to continue down this slippery slope. It may even seem unstoppable we're sliding down the slope so fast. But I believe we serve a God who can radically change hearts, lives, individuals, and entire nations, from the White House to the church house, if we will let our light shine and live like we've genuinely been transformed, instead of being transformed and living like the world. I believe that God will intervene on the behalf of individuals and people and churches and this nation if people of God will live like they've been transformed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But if we keep living like the world is calling the shots, then we don't have a prayer. We're going to keep slipping down, sliding down at breakneck speed this slippery slope. And I just want to challenge us today, friends. You say, Jim, sometimes you're a little too zealous. You're a little over to the top. You know what, friends? Christians in America, we, Jim included, have not been living transformed lives. That's why we're in the mess we're in. And until Christians start living lives from the power of believing and the power of transformation, things in America aren't going to change. And so I'm calling on Christians to live like we've been transformed. And if you haven't been born again, it's time. It's time. I did a funeral for a 36-year-old here on Friday. 36. You got no guarantees of tomorrow. If you haven't been born again, it's time. And if you have been born again and you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit of God to transform you, it's time that we start living like we've been transformed in the power. It's not any credit to me or to you. It's the power of the living God wanting to transform His church to be that light on the hill that cannot be hidden. If you want to pray at the altar, you go ahead and pray. If you want Richard and I to pray for you, we'll pray for you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, that day on the road to Damascus, you transformed a very energetic man. His energy was misguided and misdirected at the time, but you transformed him as he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would transform your church to have that kind of passion, that kind of zeal, that kind of enthusiasm to live for you, to walk with you, to serve you, to speak before kings and Gentiles and your people Israel, just like you said of Saul. I pray that you would transform your church again to have that kind of energy and excitement and enthusiasm to live transformed lives for Jesus Christ our Lord, so that the world that is dark and hurting would no longer be transforming the church into its image, but the church being filled with the Holy Spirit of God would be transforming the world into the image of Jesus. Glorify your name, O God, in us, your people. Glorify your name in your church. Help us to go from here being committed to live transformed lives because we have met with Jesus. And so give us the strength, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the courage to live for you the way you would have us live for you. That bright light shining on the hill, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.